Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised to tell me it's alright?
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up. A power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower. Now,
when I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is looking, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile.
Y'all want some more? Y'all want some more of that? Are y'all sure y'all want some more of that?
Good morning, good morning. And welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach, where your host is Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you have stopped by the show today, whether it's this morning, this afternoon, or tonight. Thank you so much for stopping by to share with us and here on the archive the topic we'll be talking about today. And before we start, we're going to have a few moments of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, I am thankful for this day. For this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am thankful for the blood of Jesus, knowing it cleanses us from all unrighteousness and allow us to come boldly to the throne of grace according to Hebrews 4:16. I am thankful for the blood and the power in the blood of Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth to protect, cleanse, heal, deliver, sanctify, redeem, justify, and to make all things new. I want to welcome you to Joy and Peace Outreach today, where we'll be talking about an exciting topic today: getting back on track. You know, a lot of us get off a track sometime or another in this Christian walk. But today we're going to talk about getting back on track, coming from Jeremiah, the second chapter, the first through the sixth, and the sixth through the 30th. So we're going to be talking about a little on Jeremiah today. We may jump, have enough time where we can go to Jeremiah, the third chapter, the 12th through the 17th verse. But today we're going to go ahead and start and talk about getting back on track. You know, in Jeremiah, we was reading on one of Jeremiah's earliest assignments as a prophet was to visit Jerusalem and to call the leaders and the people to repent of their sins. The Bible passage for this lesson teaches us that when we sin, the Lord holds us accountable. If we refuse to accept responsibility for our sins, we only make our situation worse. You know, and as I was going through this reading in Jeremiah, you know, they was talking about the Israelites of Judah had strayed away from God to such an extent that he called and sent Jeremiah to preach his message of repentance. You know, in Jeremiah 2, God laid out his case against his people. God accused the Israelites of becoming lukewarm, my, following worthless idols, creating their own gods, rebelling against God, loving their false gods, seeking God only when they are in trouble. Talking about getting back on track. How many of you all do not consult God until you're in trouble? Failing to repent when corrected? And failure to even acknowledge your sin? Here, the issue like that, sins has started out seemingly minor, being lukewarm, grew into following other idols, then creating idols, then openly rebelling, then loving their created false god, mine, then seeking God's only in time of trouble, then ignoring God's correction, and finally ignoring of their own sin. We can see this kind of pattern in our lives and in our nation today. Satan would take a mile when an inch is given. Today we're talking about getting back on track. You know, God wants us to get back on track. And as I was going through the scriptures, and Jeremiah started with Jeremiah 2, 1 through 37, we probably may not get to the very end of it, but you know, the Lord presented irrefutable evidence of the people of Judah spiritually unfaithfulness. The people had abandoned the Lord for the idolatry worship of Baal. Moreover, the poor was being oppressed, and the nation leader saw nothing wrong. Don't you see that's what's going on right now? Here he was telling them, even in, I went to verse 12. It says, "Return thy backsliding Israel, saith the Lord. And I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." Here, you know, this was referring to the unfaithful Israel, that it might have seemed out of place since the northern kingdom of Israel had been destroyed and its people deployed into exile. And as I read on, I went to Jeremiah 3:11-12, it suggested that there might be a remnant of Israelites remaining in the northern tribute territory whom the prophet was to preach. And another possibility is that Jeremiah was addressing descendants of the deported Israelites exiled in Israel. In either case, the sermon purpose ultimately was to provoke his audience, the people of Judah, to repent. So far, the people of Judah had refused to learn the lesson for what had happened to the northern kingdom. You know, the Lord called upon his rebellious people to return to him. This is the essence of repentance, turning around from unfaithfulness to faithfulness. Here he was calling them to repent. You know, Jeremiah issued a passionate call for the people of Judah to repent and return to the Lord. The prophet used the, you know, the image of a marriage relationship to make the case that the Lord was eager to forgive and restore his people if only they would return to him. Their refusal to repent, however, would usher in certain judgment. We're talking about getting back on track. God is giving you ample time to get back on track with him today. He wants you to think about what you're doing. Come back and repent to him. You know, here he was saying in his word, talking about love, what was referring to the law of covenant. Some Bible, you know, render his Hebrew term as mercy or loving kindness. As such, the word pumped the depths of the Lord's unchanging character. He loves his people unconditionally because he is love. You'll find that in 1 John 4:16. And to be sure, our stubborn sinfulness provoked his righteousness anger. Sin twisted, perverted, stained, and destroyed with the Lord. Created as good. No, he is righteousness in his anger against sin. Yet, to those who sincerely return to him in repentance, he declared, "I will not be angry forever." You know, take note of the two instances in the verse where Jeremiah stated, this is the Lord's declaration. Recall that this statement can be understood as, "So say Yahweh." The Lord had revealed his character and message to the prophet through Jeremiah, spoke with authority about the Lord's unfailing love. My, 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 my. And when we go down to verse 13, it said in Jeremiah, for those that just coming on, we're in Jeremiah, the second chapter, the first through the sixth and through the 30th. And here, and we went to verse 33, it says, only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered the way to the stranger under every green tree. And ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Here we're talking today about getting back on track, admitting guilt, the sin that easily beset you. You know, what did the wayward people need to do? Only acknowledge their guilt, Jeremiah declared. You know, the verb render acknowledge is an imperative, a command, a requirement. Then and now repentance has no real meaning apart from genuine confession of sin. You know, the people had rebelled against the Lord, and they knew they had. The word translate rebels refer to willful violation of God's revealed law. This is one of the strongest descriptions of sin in the Bible, that of stubborn disobedience. You know, the phrase scattered your favor to strangers under every green tree mostly is referred to participating in Baal's worship. This idolatry cult with its sexual orientation ritual spread like an infectious disease throughout both Israel and Judah during the time of the divine kingdom. You'll find that in 1 Kings 14:23. You know, kings was guilty of adopting and promoting the cult. Priests was guilty of accommodating it. You know, many of the people were guilty of participating in it. All needed to admit that guilt to the Lord. And here as we go to 14, verse 14, accepting blessing. You know, the word of God said, return, O backsliding children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you. I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And verse 15 saying, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. An increase in the land in those days, the Lord declared, no one will say any longer the ark of the Lord covenant. It will never come to mind, and no one remember or miss it. It will never again be made. You know, here, when we break it down, the Lord promised in verse starting with 14. The Lord promised his faithless children that if they turn to him, then he would bless them. One of these blessings would be their restoration to the promised land, getting back on track. You know, the phrase, I will bring you to Zion, means Jerusalem, can refer to return of exiled Israelites to the land and to the worshiping of one true God. You know, another possibility is that the phrase anticipated the destruction of Jerusalem in 587 B.C. and the return of exile from Judah seven decades later. You know, the word return means more than a physical relocation. It refers to repentance, a new spiritual orientation in which the Lord again is acknowledged. Honor and obey as matter. The term that Jeremiah used for master Hebrew was a deliberate play on word with the name Bela. The Lord wanted his people to know that he is not a lifeless idol, was their only legitimate master. Here the Israelites was again to enjoy the full life of spiritual blessing. They must return to the one true God. We're talking about getting back on track here in Jeremiah today. You know, and in verse 15, the word of God said, too, if the people repented, turned back wholeheartedly to the Lord, he also would bless them with faithful leaders. The Lord described these leaders as shepherds who would be loyal to him. You know, this is amazing declaration out of a faithful people would arise faithful leaders. Oh, how we need this blessing today as well. Then and now, through the blessing of faithful leaders, is a promise given to repentant people. You know, as I read a little bit further, the term shepherd can refer to both spiritual and political leaders. The Lord will endow these loyal leaders with knowledge and skill. You know, such faithful leadership have been sorely lacking among God's people for a long time. The idea of a loyal leader harking back to King David. You'll find that in 1 Samuel 13 and 14. Acts 13 and 22. It also points forward in time to the coming of the Messiah. One born in David's family line who would usher in the fulfillment of God's eternal reign over his redeemed people. Excuse me. And as I go to verse 16, just a minute, let me drink me a little water. And verse 16 says, and it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied, increase in the land, in those days, said the Lord, they shall no more. The ark of the covenant, Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall there be done anymore. You know, and as we broke that down, still another blessing promised to a repentant people, echoing a promise that Moses declared in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter and the 5th verse. And in that passage, Moses was instructing the Israelites before they entered the promised land. Even then, the Lord revealed that a time would come when his people would suffer defeat and exile from the land because of their sinfulness. You know, upon their repentance, however, the Lord would bring the exile back and cause them to prosper and multiply in numbers. You know, we're still talking about getting back on track. You know, likewise, Jeremiah foresaw a future time in those days of the people renewed growth, not only numerically but also spiritually. The returning repentant people would multiply and increase in the land. You know, moreover, they will no longer be spiritually dependent on the presence of the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. You know, since the time of the Ark's Covenant, you'll find that in Exodus 25, 10, and 22. Also, you can go to 37, 1, and 9. The Israelites' religion had revolved around the Ark as a physical symbol of the Lord's presence. The future, however, would be different and better. You know, God's people wouldn't need the ark. It would be lost, but they wouldn't remember or miss it. Neither would they think it necessary to build a new one. You know, the implication is that the people would be blessed with a renewed and more direct relationship with the Lord. My. And as I went down to verse 17, it said, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem, neither shall they walk any more after imagination of their evil heart. You know, here, Jerusalem, the political capital of Judah, would gain a new spiritual focus identity, Yahweh's throne. As such, all the nation would be drawn there to acknowledge and worship the name of Yahweh. This blessing is both the goal and the result of genuine repentance. You know, when people repent, they cease to follow the stubbornness of their evil heart, and they lavish their devotion and praise on the one true God. My. You know, the New Testament despite a coming time when the redeeming of every tribe and language group gather around God's throne and worship him. You know, I ask you today, what are some blessings from the Lord that you have received after a time of repentance? Can you recall some of the blessings that you have received? And you know, as I was reading that, I went on to Jeremiah 6 and 30 And I started with one. And it said, if thou will return, O Israel, said the Lord, return it to me. And if thou would put away thy abomination out of my sight, then shall thou not be removed. Verse 2 says, and thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, in righteousness, and the nation shall be blessed themselves in him, and him shall they glory. You know, general repentance always leave an evidence trail of forsaken sin. To return to the Lord means to turn away from attitudes and action that displease our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, though Jeremiah the law specified that the Israelites would demonstrate genuine repentance by removing their detestable idols from the Lord's presence, my presence suggests that God's people had placed idols in location where they also claimed to worship the Lord. King Manasseh once had erected a carved image of Baal the godless. King Manasseh's grandson, Judah, ruled during the early years of Jeremiah's ministry, led the reform movement that resulted in the removal of many pagan idols and practice in Judah. My. Here they tell you about repentance. Turn from your wicked way. The Lord warned through Jeremiah that the people must not waver in their allegiance to him. That means you got to get your act together. You got to get yourself together. You know, even though God's message to Jeremiah sounded bleak, God did not want to punish the Israelites and was willing to forgive them for their sin. God commanded the Israelites to change the direction that they was traveling and follow him. If they returned to him, God promised to remove his judgment from them because of his great mercy. And many vision used and faithfulness. You know, God told the Israelites that the first step to returning to him is acknowledging their gift. That's getting back on track. You know you've done wrong. You know you said something. Acknowledge it. Get it right with God. You know, admitting our sin is the first step when coming to Christ to receive salvation. If we refuse to acknowledge our sin, then we refuse to acknowledge a need for Christ. Acknowledgement of our sin is also the first step for those who are saved and have strayed from God. You know, it doesn't matter if we are you know, or inch or take a mile from God. We need to acknowledge our sin if we want to return to a closer relationship with God. My. I see I have some callers on air, and callers, if you would like to say anything, all you do is punch one on your keypad, and I'll be happy to bring you in because we're talking about getting back on track today. We know people get off track in the Word of God. They want to serve idol gods, go separate ways from God. But we're telling them today that you can get back on track. And you know, general repentance is evidenced by a return to holy living. The Lord expects and equips his people to live in truth, in justice, and in righteousness. Truth can be understood as faithfulness or reliability. Justice points to a right and fair treatment of others. Righteousness involves living in line with God's revealed law. This kind of consistent, holy living by God's people attracts others to want to know the Lord and to be blessed by him. You know, as I went on and I read a little bit further in the Word of God, and in verse 3 and 4, it was saying, "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow grounds and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doing." You know, here in these verses, Jeremiah delivered an exhortation and a warning about failing to repent. Spiritually speaking, the people of Judah needed to break up the unplowed ground of their hardness heart, like long neglected fields. The people's heart was overrun with thorns, a likely reference to the detestable idols of Jeremiah 4 and 1. You know, in referring to this covenant side of circumstances, the Lord exhorted the people of Judah, removing the foreskin of their heart. Spiritually, the people needed to remove whatever kept them from being wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. And that's what we need to do for all those listening in. We need to remove whatever is keeping us from serving God. Whatever we have before God that's preventing us from serving God, we need to move that, because it's becoming an idol. We're talking about some things on getting back on track today. We're giving God praise today. And, you know, otherwise, signal the Lord wanted only general repentance would stop off the Lord's certain judgment. Although his love was unfailing, his wrath against persistent sin would erupt like fire that no one could extinguish. In our days, as in Jeremiah days, the time for repentance is today. You know, as we think about that, no Christians like to think about the prospect of facing God's disciplinary punishment. You know, yet neither can we afford to think that God simply ignores when we turn away from, we get off the track. You know, his people is disobedient. How many people you know today is disobedient, will not listen to the truth, will not listen to the Word of God, just disregard everything that the Word of God is saying and what the men of God is telling them to do? Because God is love, his desire is for his people to come to their sense about their sin and to repent. And talking about this lesson today reminds us of these truths. You know, to get back on track with the Lord, we need to admit our sins to him. That's the first thing. To get back on track with God is to repent and to admit of our sins. When we get back on track with the Lord, we can experience his blessings. You know, when you go to God and repent, sorrowfully repenting for what you've said, what you've done, get yourself back in standard with God, all the blessings just start flowing. When we get back on track with the Lord, we can avoid his disciplinary judgment. Because you know, when God sent his wrath down, nobody can do nothing to relieve the chastisement of God. So he's teaching us day by day how to get back on track through his word. And that's what we have to go on, is his word. We can't do nothing without the Word of God. You know, we will be blessed by God if we remain close to him. If we remain away from him, we can expect discipline. This is not to say that those who are close to Christ will never experience pain, and those away from Christ will never experience joy. God promised the Israelites good leaders, which was something the Israelites was in desperate need of. The Bible is full of blessings promised to us, blessings that can only fully receive as we walk closer to Christ. You know, I was thinking about the Beatitude in Matthew 5, 3 and 12 are great examples of blessing, but by far not the only one. And I'm going to turn over to Matthew 5 and read a few of those, or all of those, because we need them. Matthew 5 through 12, it says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And it goes on to say, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11 say, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then the last verse says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. Here God is showing you how to get back on track, and how he will give you the blessings that you deserve. Oh, my. For all of you all today that's been off track with the Lord, it's time to set it straight. It's time to get back on track, to let God do it, the wonderful work in your life that he has planned for you. Repent. Come from your wicked ways. Do what God has asked and commissioned you to do today. You know, as I went a little bit further, God told the Israelites to turn from sin and acknowledge their guilt to accept blessings. But God still wants more. God wants the Israelites and us to be genuine. He wants us to walk with him in a truthful, just, and righteous way. He wants us to circumcise our heart. He wants us to plow in the new ground, not where we have been among the thrones. God wants not only our action to change, but the motives within our heart to change. Today, stop giving up ground, even if it's just an inch. Turn around, acknowledge our sin, accept blessings from God. Work to become genuine before the Lord. That today we are talking about getting back on track. And that's what we have to do today. You know, in Jeremiah 3 and 1 and 4 and 4 say, talking about call to repentance. You know, Jeremiah issued a passionate call for the people of Judah to repent and return to the Lord. And in Jeremiah 4 and 5 through 31, I just give you a little synopsis on that. The consequence of unfaithfulness. You know, Jeremiah described the consequence of unfaithfulness. An enemy would attack Judah like a lion. The nation would experience disease. And I thought about that. My. The nation should experience disaster after disaster. Devastation would be the end result. You know y'all got to get back on track quick and in a hurry. Yes, Lord Jesus. You know, comprehension of corrupt. You'll find that in Jeremiah 5 and 1. Jeremiah said that both leaders and people would face God punishment. No one was exempt. Religious leaders would be held accountable for the nation's spiritual condition. Don't you know we held accountable today for what we do and what we say? We want to say the right thing. We want to tell people what does say the Lord. Give them scriptures. Let them read the scriptures for themselves. That's why whenever I'm bringing something to you all, I give you the scripture and tell you where we're coming from. That way you can follow me as I follow Christ. I'm just the mail lady today, just dropping off the mail, getting back on track, because we have so many in our families that's off track today that need to get back on track. We have co-workers that's not on track, that we need to help them get back on track. We don't want a soul lost to the enemy. We're going to take back everything God have given us. We want every blessing God have bestowed upon us. But we got to get back on track. We all have come short of the glory of God, but he's given us time, you all. He has given us time to get back on track. So today I'm hoping and praying that each and every person that listen to this broadcast today will be able to look at themselves, look at repenting of every sin you have committed by omission or commission, going before God and let him know, Lord, I'm tired of running down the wrong track, down the wrong street, on the back roads when I can be on the interstate. Put me on the right track to you, Lord. I don't want to have these kind of idols. Idols of the family, idols of material stuff. I want you to be my Lords of Lords and my Kings of Kings. And that way, when you start repenting for everything that you've done, where God can forgive you, you can start telling others, okay, I went through a part in my life where this had to line up, that had to line up. I saw I was not doing things that God would have. So I had to get it together. So today, that's what we're talking about, getting back on track. You got to get your life back on track with the Lord. You know you haven't been going to church? Get back on track. You know you have been reading your Bible like you should? Get back on track. You know you haven't been praying like you should? Get back on track. You haven't been fasting like you should? Get back on track. You haven't been talking a wholesome conversation, get back on track. You know, start studying that word. That way, when an opportunity comes for you, when the blessings is coming forth, you won't miss out on the blessing because you're going to be bending that right there along with God. He's going to be with you every step of the way. Even those that's walking up and down the street today that don't know God and the pardon of their sin, they can get back on track. We all running here and running there, but while we are not out there on our job to help them get back on track, we don't want no casualties. We know there will be some, but we can prevent some of them, you all. So let's get on track with the Lord. Let's start doing what God had told Jeremiah to do and what he's telling each and every one of us every day. Repent. Repent. Repent, turn from your wicked ways. Repent of specific sins in your life, any sin in your life. Repent for it. God will forgive you. All you have to do is go to him. You can go in your secret closet and repent today for whatever may have been going on in your life. If you're backslid, you can repent and get back on track. My. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy to be praised. We give God praise today for this show. We give him praise for the topic, get back on track, because so many have lost their way. They have come on off on the wrong side of the track, on the wrong side of the bed. As they say, they started out with one foot and ended up with the other, but if they was coming together, they'd end up both feet walking and marching to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. My. Get back on track. And the Lord has so many promises for you in his word that he's going to give his people if they genuinely return to him. He wants you to return to him. Time isn't long as it has been. Time is winding up for all of us. We don't know where our name at on the road, but we need to be getting our life in order with God, getting back on track on the things he have called you to do. You got sidelined. You stopped doing what he told you to do. If he told you to preach, preach. If he told you to be in a help ministry, help. Whatever he have told you to do, get up and start doing it. Get back on track. You know you want the blessing, but you got to press. So we're telling you today, get back on track. Read Jeremiah, the second chapter, the third chapter, and the fourth chapter. And you will get some understanding of it, what God was telling Jeremiah to tell to his people. And you know, we got to stop giving up ground, even if it's just an inch. Stop giving it up. Turn around where you are right now. Acknowledge your sin. Accept blessings from God. Because he has many blessings for each and every one of us. You don't have to worry about this one getting a blessing and you didn't get the blessing. He have a blessing and a promise with your name on it. So all you got to do is get back on track. Reach up, grab it, hold on to it. The word of God, the word. He have left us the word here. He's telling us about to repent by unfaithfulness. Of being corrupt. You know, we each have an assignment. Are we working our assignment today? Or are we too busy trying to do somebody else's assignment and then let our assignment go undone? You know, today, the Lord requires us to acknowledge our guilt to him. The Lord promised to give his people faithful leaders. A lot of places we need good leaders, not only in the pulpit, on the jobs, in prayer groups, and different things. We need good leaders. So we got to get on track. God want to take us somewhere, you all. But for us to get to where he want to take us, we got to be on track. We got to get it right. And, you know, as people living in, are people living in right relationships with the Lord? Are they character right by true justice and righteousness? Think about that today. Because we all, in some portion of our life, got off track. But God has given us an opportunity to get back on track. Get our life back together with him. Don't you want to go back and meet the Lord when he comes? His arrival is coming very soon. Do you want to stay here and burn up in hell, or do you want to be with him in heaven? Now is the time. So each one of us, not just y'all, me too, each one of us have to search ourselves to see if we're following God's pathway. Are we on the right track, or are we on the wrong track? We can get on the right track today, the right track to Jesus. And if there's anyone on the line would like to say anything, feel free, because God is a good God today, and we thank him and we praise him today. I know this wasn't probably a shouting message, but I see so many people every day all beat down, then got out the will of God. But I'm just calling them today to repent. You can get back on track with the word of God today. Get back in your rightful place that God called you to be. Do what God have called you to do. And you'll be surprised of the blessings and the promises he have for you. if you just repent. It's just a simple word and a simple thing of repentance for in and everything that you have done that was not right. If you're gossiping, stop gossiping, backbiting, slandering, whatever it is, get back on track today. Backstabbing, stop, repent, get back on track today. Family issues, get back on track today. Because he's coming back for a church. And it's not that building that you go during the weekend on Sunday. It's what's on the inside of you. Each and every one of us have to clean up on the inside. That way we can be on track. And if you need to go back to the potter's wheel, say, God, put me back on the potter's wheel. Because I need to be made over. It's some things in me is not right, some things that I've been doing, some things I've been saying, places I've been going that I shouldn't have been going, people I've been around I shouldn't have been around. God, I want to get back on track today. Show me, Lord, what I need to do as an individual. Help me to get back on track because I've lost it somewhere along the way. And so God will. He will. Long as you repent, mean what you say and say what you mean to God, you can go to God and repent. And watch how God turned that situation around in your life today. How things will start happening. You say, Lord, it's just like a merry-go-round. I'm just going round and round. It's just going so fast. The blessing's going to come in. The promise is going to come in. Because the promise is in the Bible. All the promises God have for you. You don't have to lack what he have for you. You don't have to worry about what somebody else got because God got things especially for you with your name, your address, your phone number, everything. He know how to get in touch with you. All you do is repent and get back on track. Well, we give God praise today for this lesson on getting back on track. And he was letting Jeremiah know that he had sent him as a sign, as a prophet, to visit Jerusalem and call the leaders and the people. And that's what he's doing today. He's calling the leaders throughout the nation to repent. Don't you see how the cover is coming off of any and everybody that has not repented, that's doing this and doing that? It's time. It's repentance time. He's giving you time to repent and get back on track. So today, I hope you got something out of this lesson that you will take responsibility today of each and every one of your sins and go to God and repent for them because he is the one. He is the only one. Mama can't do it, father can't do it, husband can't do it, sister and brother can't do it, cousin, niece and uncle. You have to go to God. This is an individual thing. This is an individual walk to get back on track. We know you had good intention. You didn't mean to say that and you didn't mean to say or do that. But now is the time where you can get back on track. Stop procrastinating. God told you to do something. You said you were going to do something for somebody. You haven't done it yet. Get back on track. You were going to share a scripture with somebody that the Lord gave you, and you didn't do it. Get back on track. You tell somebody that you loved them, and you really didn't mean it. Get back on track and love that person genuinely because God loved you. He spoke about it in here, told Jeremiah, you know, about the love. So today, everyone that's listening to this program today, you can get back on track. No matter how often you got off track, now is the time to get it right. Admit your guilt. Accept your blessing. And God will bless you today. And I want to thank you again for stopping by Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. Get back on track today. No matter whatever it was that took you off the course God had you on, repent, go back, and get it right. Get on track today. And you'll be so happy that you did. I want to thank each and every one of you all again for coming. And before I leave the show, I'll close off with a prayer. Because prayer is in order. We all need prayer. We can't make it without it. And you might need someone to pray for you today. Someone to break the bondage that been had you off track. The infirmities. And we want you to come back to Jesus today. Because he is the one. He will forgive you of everything. You can repent today. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today asking your forgiveness and seek your direction and your guidance. We know your words say, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium, Lord. We confess that we have the absolute truth of your word and call it. We have worshipped other gods and call it multicultural. We have indulged perversion and call it alternative lifestyle. We have employed the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot up abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. Some of us have abused power and called it political salvage. We have covered our neighbor possession and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. Lord, we come today asking you for forgiveness for everything that we have done that have taken us off course, Lord. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked ways in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free according to your will today, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, forgive us for everything that we have done, everything that we have said. We come back to you today, dear Heavenly Father. Forgive us, dear Heavenly Father. Put us back on the right course. Put us on the right track, dear Heavenly Father. Back to you today. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise for it. We give you the honor. In the most precious, holy, and divine name, we give you the highest praise, which is hallelujah. Hallelujah to your name, Jesus. In the blessed name of Jesus, we say amen, amen, and amen. So today, I hope you all got something out of the message today. Getting back on track. No matter what way your life has been going spiraling out of control, God is telling you today, get back on track. You can get back on track today. Don't worry about what somebody else is saying that it's not right. You can get back and get right on track with God today. And until next week, tune in. We hope to have another exciting show next week for you. In the coming weeks, we will be changing our format a little bit. So please stay tuned. Don't stop coming. Don't stop listening, because you never know when you may miss a nugget. So until next week, be blessed. I love each and every one of you all. And have a wonderful and a splendorous day and a week in the Lord. And until next week, bye-bye.